Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, my good friend, Harris Wishard. What's up, Harris?
Good evening, Nick. Always great to be with you talking hoops. New York is a buzz right now. The city's alive again. The Knicks have won four straight, 7 of 10. And the big test tonight is the King comes into town. Amidst all these comments that Phil Jackson's made about his friends and all that, and the ball hog stuff with Melo. So we could expect the Garden to be alive tonight and maybe rock like it hasn't in a few years. So New York is definitely excited.
Yeah, New York is popping right now. The Warriors are popping right now. Klay just dropped 60, and that guy Russell Westbrook, six straight triple-doubles. What do you want to start with first? We got a lot.
Yeah, a lot of storylines developing here as we've reached that six-week point of the NBA season. And I think I want to touch on Klay because I know we know his spurt ability, as my college coach used to call it, 37 points in a quarter a couple of years ago against the lowly Kings. This is a better ball club in Indiana. I know they were only around 500, but with Paul George on the floor, you'd think they have some more pride as they allow Klay to drop 60 in 29 minutes. I mean, I could do a lot of things in 29 minutes, but I'm probably not going to score 60 points in an NBA game on 33 shots. And maybe be the fourth best player on my team. I can't remember another time in history that you could say that. I mean, some people might want to slide him above Draymond Green, but I think Green plays a more pivotal role in their success long term. So for your fourth guy to be able to get 60 in 29 minutes is kind of obnoxious.
It's ridiculous. And you think about it, there's not many guys in the NBA that could probably get 60 in 29 minutes on 33 shots. And not touching the ball, you know, a lot of his points came off ball. He moved so well without the ball. So all you young basketball players, keep an eye on Klay and see what he does on the court. Definitely, he earns those shots a little bit running around so much. But 60 is just ridiculous. And like you said, possibly the fourth best player on this team. We're not talking KD. We're not talking Steph. You know, we're talking Klay, and he's still dropping points. This is what makes his team so dangerous.
And also, the reason why the Warriors are so tough is because their movement. Like you mentioned a point that a lot of people fail to realize is when you're defending like that, it takes a lot of energy out of you on the offensive end. Both Klay and Steph have a great understanding of how to move without the basketball, and they both have a high basketball IQ. And you see shooters around the league, and a lot of guys, if they're not creating their own shots, if they're not coming off a ball screen, they're not quite sure how to get open. And with the Warriors system implemented and what Kerr did to take their offense to the next level when Jackson moved away – is that off-ball screen and the double screen and the flare screen and, you know, these staggers they set for Klay, and he's able to move without it. And don't get me wrong, a lot of it is great talent because some of the shots that he hit, that fadeaway three was barely in his hands when he shot it. So a lot of those shots are just difficult, but both those guys do a great job of, you know, draining the energy of the opposing team.
Yeah, I mean, it makes your teammates better too. When you're moving around, the defender that's guarding you has to be liable, especially for somebody like Steph and Klay. You know what I mean? That's drawing somebody away from help defense. So, I mean, they play a big part in what the Warriors do. They're getting to the point where they're kind of ridiculous.
Two points I want to make, and one of them is actually one point, one question. The 73 wins is irrelevant. The 70 wins is irrelevant. I thought they'd win high 60s and beat teams up by 35, 40 in some fashion or some way, shape, or form, and that's kind of what's happening. I mean, they're 18-3, and we could expect them to – I mean, 65 is a shoo-in, and, you know, anything after that is gravy. I don't even think they're concerned. They just want the one seed, and they'll pay attention maybe out to, over in the Eastern Conference to see if they can wrap up home court throughout 200 straight sellouts at Oracle. So I think they really are concerned about home court throughout, and it's obviously going to help them, even though they lost a championship on their home floor. But – who's the better shooter out there that calls the Bay home? You know, you could even throw Durant in the mix if you want. Steph, we know, can create off the dribble as well as anybody. But stand still, wide open, spot up. Klay is as good as they are, as good as they come.
And he did beat Curry in a 3-point contest a few years ago. So, I mean, I think we talked about this before. Klay is probably the better standstill shooter, you know, like the pure shooter just standing there, getting the open shot, off ball, catch and shoot. But Steph can hit those difficult shots. He can hit off the dribble. He can create these shots for himself. And pretty much the same thing with Durant. Durant's a very good shooter too. I mean, you could probably argue they have three of the top five shooters in the NBA if you want to put Durant up there.
At one point, I thought they were going to add Ray Allen. That would have been father. Father. If that would have been father splash, they would have had to, and his three stepchildren.
Yeah, that would have been on another level. Like, how many, like, what do you think is the most threes they could drop in a game as a team? Well,
I made the point on Monday after I witnessed the 60 that I thought there could be a game where they catch a lowly team, Kings, Sixers, you know, throw any other Magic, you know, whatever other team, Nets, whatever, throw some mediocre teams in a hat off a back-to-back and, you know, get a tired group and where they all just light it up and all go for 40 and, you know, just splash threes. I think, what's the NBA record, 22, 23?
21, I think, or yeah. I think the Cavs just said it this year.
21. I could see 25.
I mean, yeah, it seems like almost you could, like, not, it's not even ridiculous to say number 30. Yeah. I mean, I know it seems like a lot, but the players they have on this team and the amount of difficult threes they can hit, not just open threes, makes it possible.
Well, yeah, they would have to take, I mean, to make, let's just say one night they go 30 of like 60 something. I mean, they'd have to NBA teams average, what, like 80 shots a game? So you'd really only take threes, specifically just three. And I wouldn't put it past them to do that. I'm not sure how much they're interested in, and this brings up an interesting discussion, how interested they are in records. Would it have been disrespectful for Steve Kerr to send Thompson out there to get the 75 or 80 when the game has already been decided? How do you feel about that? Because I know there's injury concern, but, you know, now that the game is decided, is it disrespectful in a Patriot fashion? Because they've kind of embodied this role of, like, we don't care anymore. We came up as the new kids on the block. Now we're established. We're going to let you know how we feel about us knocking threes in your face throughout the contest. Would have been disrespectful for Kerr and to let Thompson try to chase history a little bit?
I mean, I would have been okay with him playing a couple of minutes in the fourth. I didn't think he had to play the whole fourth, but I thought he would at least get a little burn. Mm. Like, you know, just let him, you know, see if he's still hot. Like, if he's still dropping threes, let him play a little bit. Maybe hit 70 or 80 because that's some different type of territory. Not to say 60 isn't a great accomplishment, but when you get in that 70 and 80, you know, everybody remembers that. Like, we've had other players score 60, but only a few have gotten past that, you know?
Well, yeah, like David Robinson isn't like that. I think he had like a 70-point game, but obviously everybody thinks about
Kobe.
Two games. It's Kobe and Chamberlain. So I think in order to, you know, to get, obviously getting into that 70 range is ridiculous, even 60. But to think about 29 minutes, think about if this game, you know, was even close.
Yeah, even relatively close.
Yeah, like, if it was, I mean, would they beat him by 40? So
if it was within like 15 or 20, you could probably say Clay could go on the court.
Score was 100 and I want to say it was, I'm trying to look now. I think it was like 142 to like 100. And they didn't even go into the numbers they're putting up. And I mentioned this also on Twitter, is the numbers they're putting up without playing an overtime game yet.
Yeah.
One. They played one against the Rockets. But up until that point, they had not played an overtime game, and they were averaging 118 points a game.
Yeah. Like, the team's on a different level, and I'm sure they're getting even better, you know, getting more chemistry, learning each other a little bit more. So,
yeah, the score was 142 to 106.
But enough about the Warriors. Let's talk about another guy in the West. That Energizer Bunny, that Russell Westbrook, six straight triple-doubles, six straight wins for OKC, averaging a triple-double on the season. Thoughts on this guy?
The word that always comes to mind is ruthless, Nick. I know you love that one. But, yeah, I mean, we expected Westbrook to go out and dominate throughout the course of the season. But anytime you see somebody – I mean, what was the number that we thought we'd see, like 20 at the most? I mean, now you're talking about six triple-doubles, what, 11 and 22 games or 12 and 23. It's almost like every other night is a triple-double. You're surprised when he doesn't have a triple-double. His individual statistics are never really going to impress me because we know what he's capable of. What's going to impress me is how efficient he's going to be because we know he's not a great three-point shooter. So I think with Westbrook, as we've seen this already and to this magnitude of him accumulating all of these statistics, I think when you see a star, and this is clearly a superstar in this league now, you want to see him put everything together and you want to see him learn from his mistakes with the Durant relationship. You want to see him maybe be a little bit more poised and composed down the stretch. You want to see him be a bona fide winner and eventually get a ring. Because a guy like that plays this hard and that cares about it this much and is a competitor like we probably haven't seen since Jordan, and obviously Kobe comes to mind when you think of competitors. I think you just really want to see this guy get a ring.
Yeah, you do. You want to see OKC surround him with some talent. Obviously, you can't blame him this year. KD left. You lose a top five player and top three player in the NBA. You're going to, you know, have some issues. But luckily for them, they have another probably top three or top five player on their team in Westbrook, and he's carried the load. You know, they're not really, I would say, super far away from a championship team. They would just have to make some right moves, and some of these young guys have to pan out. But like you said, you like rooting for this guy. At least I do. He plays so hard. He leaves it all on the court. And, you know, he could clean up the efficiency, shoot a little higher number, drive a little bit more, lay back on some of those fadeaway threes, and not turn it over as much. But you can't hate him because he doesn't really have a ton of help there, and he's putting up the numbers to get this team W's.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of hate that we notice. There's a lot of hate that comes his way because of, I think, the reckless abandon and the attitude. And I think that's just who he's needed to become, that person to get the most out of his talent and ability. And you hear his story, and it's amazing. You know, his friend died when he was younger. He plays for him. He didn't even think he was the best player in his high school team, college team, didn't play minutes as a freshman. He has a story, and he has, you know, he plays with as much of a chip on his shoulder. That's more of a boulder on his shoulder than a chip.
Yeah, Westbrook is pretty crazy. But the Knicks, you know, they're kind of starting to surprise people. They got a big matchup with the Cavs tonight. I think they're 7-3 in their last 10, 1-4 straight. They haven't really beat any big-time team yet. So this matchup with the Cavs means a lot to them. And, you know, the Cavs had recently had some issues. So they're kind of playing extra hard.
In 2010, when Amari Stoudemire declared that the Knicks were back, right? And he came in, and how much excitement did he energize those fans with? I mean, that was when the Knicks hadn't sniffed a playoff win in about 10 years. So at least,
yeah, I mean, the team didn't have really much success at all. They were at the bottom of the East constantly, and they get Amari, and he kind of adds that hope in that competitive team. You know, they actually could compete.
And they were 16-8 going into a matchup with the Celtics. I don't know if you remember this game on ESPN. It was the game that Stoudemire's buzzer beater didn't count. Or, like, he had a shot, like, after the buzzer, after Pierce hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And it was just – I think, yeah, the game was played, like, probably mid – I'll say towards the end of December. But it was just – it reminds me – this team kind of reminds – because there's some different blood in there. And I'm not completely sold on this organization. Obviously, you know my skepticism and my criticism of some things that have gone on. But it's a good opportunity for the Knicks tonight, no doubt about it. The King comes in with a chip on his shoulder. I think everyone expects – LeBron to have a big night, just in light of in the response of the Phil Jackson back and forth, where he made a comment about his friends, and you know LeBron loves the Garden. There's something about the Mecca that kind of excites some of these superstar guys. So you can't have a championship or a playoff level game in early December, but there'll be some energy in the building tonight for sure.
Yeah, there'll be energy. I mean, just a LeBron and Melo matchup. They both like to play hard against each other. And I think the Knicks want to, you know, let the NBA know that they can kind of compete with some of these teams. They're starting to find a rhythm. They're starting to pick it up defensively. Some of these bench guys we mentioned last episode are really starting to pick it up too. And then obviously the unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis. The Knicks go as far as he goes.
Yeah.
But the Cavs, on the other hand, I mentioned it, I think they're 1-3 in their last four. They just had a win against Toronto. LeBron seemed more engaged. He seemed a little bit hungrier to get the win. He wasn't too happy about the three straight losses. He says the honeymoon's over. So it's time for the Cavs to start to put things together. And I think this will be a good matchup, but I think the Cavs probably pull the W.
Yeah, and, you know, I think down the stretch, I think if you're a Knicks fan tonight, obviously you want the win. But I think the last 3 or 4 minutes, you just want it to be a ball game. They had the Cavs beat in the first half of the season a couple of times last year and let those games get away, and they proved to be costly in their chase for a playoff position. So, you know, with 21 games in and a win tonight, with the championship parade would start in New York tomorrow morning. And, you know, everybody would say that, you know, at 13-9 and only a couple games behind Cleveland, we've seen teams be successful against LeBron in the regular season. I think the Knicks could establish themselves as a top four team in the East. I picked them to be the sixth best team in the East, but you're seeing some other teams struggle. The opportunities are there for them. I still think Toronto's better. Boston's better. You know, the Hornets might be – the Hornets are like, you know, with neck and neck with the Knicks. But I think sometimes your – what is it called? I want to say the litmus test? or like in professional sports they call it, well, whatever your measuring stick, whatever phrase you want to use. This is definitely a good opportunity and test for the Knicks after playing some good basketball and to me winning a game that they usually lose in Miami.
Yeah, I mean that's a difference. They've been finishing games better. They've been getting energy from the second unit, and they've been showing more effort on defense, which is obviously the most important thing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely a lot of progress, and they're probably looking better than I probably initially thought they would.
Yeah.
You still have to worry about their health a bit, but there's a possibility for them to be the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah.
You know, the Pacers have struggled, and that's a team that we thought were going to be number four. The Hawks looked like they were going to be a top team. They just lost a ton of games. I think they're on some terrible type of stretch where they lost one of their last 10. I mean, lost nine of their last 10. So, well, I mean, there's opportunity. Yeah. And if you win these games early when these teams are struggling and you pick up that ground, you know, it'll make a difference when you're seeding at the end.
Absolutely. And I think when I want to ask you about teams that are overachieved and underachieved, I think everybody else is kind of falling into the place where we expected them to be. I don't think you look at one team and say, man, I thought this – I mean, Miami at 7-14 is 7-14 is a bit surprising. They have some talent there. I watched Dragic and Whiteside. There isn't really much else outside of those two guys right now. You know, the Hornets, it was surprised early, cooled off. Like you said, there's a real opportunity for the Knicks to be one of the surprise teams. And listen, if they want to make me officially eat my words, I'll have to make some postseason noise. But even getting home court in the first round would be a definite step in the right direction for this franchise. And something that I did not think they would do. So I know it's only 21 games and it's early, but a good opportunity for the Knicks nonetheless.
I mean, even I think a fifth or sixth seed probably, if they get it easily, will be a pretty big accomplishment considering they haven't made the playoffs the last few seasons. You know, you want to just get in there and you want to win maybe a few games, maybe advance to the next round.
Right.
But just some like postseason basketball other than in New York, other than in Brooklyn a few years ago, like it'd be nice to see.
Yeah, Brooklyn, as you know, had the stretch, but outside of, they went the second round to the Heat. So a New York team has not been in the conference finals since when?
A long time.
Yeah, I think it's, Jason Kidd's Nets maybe?
Yeah, probably. I would think it would be
the Knicks. Haven't been there since 2000, and the Nets haven't been there. Well, the Nets were in New Jersey when that happened. So there hasn't – I mean, New York basketball has been non-existent. And there's no way around it. Someone came up to me. I was at the gym and – no, I was working out and somebody was like, you know, what's a problem? I'm not only New York basketball, New York sports. I mean, we know the Yankees and Giants have had some success, but when you're in the Mecca, you know, you want to be living in a world where the Knicks and Nets are shoo-ins. They're top six, top eight shoo-ins every year. And you know, when April comes around that it's going to be exciting. Hopefully both those franchises eventually get to that point. We know the Knicks have had some success with Carmelo and got to the second round a couple years ago. The Nets, I think, were in the second round the following year in 14. Yep. Not in 13. In 13, they were bounced in the first round, I believe.
Yep, seven games against Chicago. And then the year after that, they lost in the first round against the Hawks. So it'd be nice to get some long runs in the playoffs.
Hasn't happened in this city in a while. So a chance to tune in on ESPN. And then the doubleheader, the Warriors-Clippers, we'll talk about that in a second. But is there any other team that stuck out? Has there really been an overachiever? No, we talked about the Lakers, but they've kind of fallen off a little bit.
A lot of injuries for them.
Yeah. So is there
anything? The Rockets have been pretty impressive. 14-7. I think they're probably doing better than some people thought. James Harden is killing it. Underachiever, I would definitely go with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. Where is that guy now?
He's
I'm gonna be at New Paltz on Saturday. I'm gonna go check out the Hawks. And I'm gonna see one of our good friends, Alex Perlman, I think, is gonna go. I heard that he was gonna go. I'm not sure. I have to ask him. But he, you know, big Mavericks guy and part of it also. So I don't want to mention it to him. I know he's probably a very sensitive subject right now. You know, I know he doesn't want to talk about that. But it really is a mess over there.
I thought they probably had a chance not to make the playoffs, but I did not think they'd be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can't tell you I've watched more than four quarters of Dallas Maverick basketball in the first couple months of the season.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough. And Dirk, he's got the Achilles issue. I feel bad for him, and sadly, it might be time for him to hang it up. Father Time might have finally caught up to him.
Father Time is undefeated. Mother Nature 9 times out of 10. I say it all the time.
Yeah, very true.
you can't beat Father Time, man. And Kobe tried it. Jordan tries it. You know, some of those guys like Kidd and Nash play to, like, they're 40 and – you know, they still look pretty good. And Jamal Crawford is drinking something different than everybody else. I mean, the guy looks like he's 19, but
I was explaining to my girlfriend the other day how long Jamal Crawford played in the NBA, and she didn't believe me.
Yeah.
Because he looks so young.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
And I think Jamal Crawford's stuck in time. I really do. I think safe from aging.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got something in that diet.
Yeah. Well, those Seattle guys, Nate kind of looks young too.
Yeah, he does. You think Nate's like a 20-year-old still.
Yeah, he's not aging either. Wow, it's something out there in Seattle. I have to talk to them about what they're doing.
But talking about this Warriors-Clippers game.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't think any game really matters that much to the Warriors this year, except maybe games against the Cavs. No. Do you think this is a big game for the Clippers? Do you think they want to come out and get this W?
ESPN's got a pretty interesting doubleheader tonight, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's a good one. This should get a lot of viewership.
Yeah, this is probably the best doubleheader they've had all year. I mean, it's early, so you know, I think that's not really a bold statement, but this is a bigger game for the Clippers.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's in their home arena. There's definitely some animosity between these two teams dating back to some of their playoff series. And, you know, I think obviously we know about the Clippers knocking them out of the playoffs in 14. And, you know, I think the Warriors having that matchup last year when there was an interesting game last year before Durant was there. But adding him into the rivalry, they haven't played yet, have they? Or once?
I don't know if they've played yet. I feel like they haven't, but they might have played once.
Because that game might have been – was that game in Golden State? I really want to double-check that. But regardless, they've had some real interesting matchups. The matchup where the Clippers were up like 15 last year at halftime and the Warriors were like 12-0 at that point. Warriors came back to beat them. But these games are always physical. There's obviously some hatred there. There's obviously a background. I know Green and Griffin always going at it, and even before that, Spates and Griffin. So it's always fun to watch these two Titans clash. And you know, the Clippers, we know about their talent. They're 16-6. They had the incident in Brooklyn with Doc, and everybody called everybody out. Jordan called everybody out. I'm sure they aired, you know, the frustration in the locker room and whatnot. So the Clippers look to get a big home win. I'm going to take the Warriors in this one, but you know, the Clippers come to play. This is one of those games I could see the Clippers getting out in front. Are they front runners to you?
They like to get out there lead early.
Yeah, and not only front runners, but they come out with all this energy, and then as the momentum of the game slows down, it just feels like the other team could get back in it because they not only expended energy, but they almost get too high and low, and it's surprising because Paul is an even keel leader, but something about this, like the crowd and this unit and some of the energy they play with, they'll be up 31-11, and then you'll blink, and it's a tie game in the middle of the third quarter. So stop me if I'm incorrect. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, no, definitely it's something you see as an issue with them. And like you said, I got the Warriors tonight. If they didn't lose to the Rockets a week ago, I maybe could see the Clippers winning this game, but you know, the Rockets already gave them their loss for this chunk of games. So
I think this has potential to be the best game we've seen in the NBA this season.
It could definitely be. If the Clippers come out and play and bring their A game to compete with the Warriors, and the Warriors don't have somebody, you know, go for 60, it should be a good game.
This is the first time the Warriors have played the Clippers this year, too. I thought maybe that the Warriors had played them at home.
This is a big game, then. You know, that extra little Kevin Durant, you know, addition, and this should be a good one.
Definitely. So you like the Warriors. I'm going to take the two road teams, the seasoned veteran finals experience teams, but the Knicks and Clippers have something to prove tonight, and both teams would benefit way more with a win than the other teams would.
Yeah, that's very true. The confidence for both these teams would be through the roof. And they're both type of teams that probably could use this type of confidence.
More likely to pull the upset tonight, the Clippers or the Knicks?
That's a tough one just because of the different – they both had a little bit of – I guess – I mean – I don't think either team pulls the upset, so I would have to say the Knicks. Actually, no, I'd say the Clippers. I'd say the Clippers have the better chance, but I really think it's highly unlikely either team pulls an upset tonight.
The lines are trying to find that. Be interested to see that.
I could probably find it for you.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second. The Knicks are 8.5-point underdogs, and the Clippers are 4-point underdogs. So Vegas obviously has the Clippers at a better chance of beating the Warriors, but both games on national TV. So of all you guys complaining about not having League Pass and seeing all of these games. You'll get to see two good ones tonight. More likely tonight, a 40-point night from Kevin Durant or a triple-double from LeBron James and at the Garden.
Triple-double for LeBron James.
Do you see – you think that Durant is going to have a good night? You think Durant's going to have a good night? He's going to play well against the Clippers?
Yeah, I think he's going to even have a high 30s. I don't know if he'll hit 40. I just think LeBron has got that killer vision right now where he wants a W, and like you said, he likes to play well at MSG. He could use a nice all-around game and rack up those points, assists, and rebounds. And, I mean, KD will probably have a great game too, but the Warriors don't really need him to ever score 40.
Right.
And I'm sure the Clippers would kind of not allow somebody on the Warriors to get hot, just like they saw what happened last time. Somebody, you let them get hot. I mean, there's not to say that there's a ton that the Pacers could have done to stop Clay, but, you know, when you let a guy hit shots early on in the game, there's always a possibility it's going to carry on.
Yeah, definitely. I would tend to agree with that, but I have Durant having a huge night tonight. I think sometimes the wild card for them is going to be KD, because obviously he's a guy they added this season. We know what he could do on the offensive end. But I don't know. I see tempers flaring in this one. I think this is going to be an emotional contest, and I think Durant's just going to absolutely catch fire. And, you know, a marquee matchup, like we said, and, you know, ESPN is definitely in for a great doubleheader. I hope both games go down to the wire.
All right, and I got more likely to score 40 tonight, Melo or Blake Griffin?
Blake. I think Blake plays well tonight, too. Melo's gonna try to go off, and he's he loves the LeBron matchups, and he does traditionally play well against LeBron, as you know. But I think Blake and KD. I mean, obviously Durant and Blake, they don't guard each other. Who are the Clippers throwing at Durant?
They might throw Blake at him a few times. Because Blake's, you know, I think he's athletic enough to keep up with him, and he has some size and some length to kind of match up. But Abamute will probably get a lot of Durant.
Yeah, if that happens, then all the bets are off. I think – I don't know if they – I mean, Green's obviously going to guard Blake, but I think Blake really gets up for these games. He sat a couple. I like him a lot.
He missed a lot of time last year, and, you know, he kind of – I think he realized that, like, he messed up, and he kind of wants to make the most out of his time in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the Stars are going to be out tonight. They're both going to be good contests, and it's a loaded 10-game Wednesday night. So, everybody, again
– I got another one for you, though.
Oh, you got another question.
All right, more likely to be a conference finals, Knicks and Cavs or Clippers and Warriors?
Warriors, Clippers. I need to see more from New York for me to slot them into that Eastern Conference final. And I think the Clippers could expose some things that the Spurs do. I like that Clippers Spurs matchup for the Spurs.
They beat them for like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you know
what? That crazy first round series.
The Clippers outside of dealing with the Rockets, and then who the Clippers got bounced in the first round last year.
But yeah, I think they
yeah. So I think the Clippers present a lot of matchup issues, but we know what some of their deficiencies are, and we've spoken about that at length. But I think definitely Clippers-Warriors, this is a matchup that I think everybody kind of wants to see. There's not a matchup in the West that I think could create the amount of excitement that the Warriors and Clippers can, because the Spurs are going to win in a way that some people just don't appreciate.
It's not flashy enough.
Yeah,
Clippers will be flashy.
Yeah, just like the Warriors and Thunder was.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned before there's a little bit of extra juice in this game.
So I would almost rather watch the Warriors. I mean, outside of being in New York and most of my friends being big Knicks fans, if both of these games are on at the same time or you have to choose between which conference final you'd rather see, I think we'd lean towards as basketball fans, Warriors, Clippers. But – again, two great games on ESPN, 10-game night in the NBA, loaded. Again, appreciate all of the listens, all of the tweets, all of the views, everything that all of our writers have done to make this season what it is so far, and enjoy the games tonight, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for all the support, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, and be sure to check out the next episode.